As we were going through that anthem Wednesday night, I thought, this doesn't quite go along with what the scriptures are. And as we got into it more and more, for some like me, it was a little harder to sing. And there were parts that Paul kept saying, watch that note. But today, it seems like the words keep going through me. What a beautiful job you all did. Thank you very much. As you know, that I follow the lecture, and today's lecture calls for Luke chapter 16, verses 27 through 38. And I was thinking about the anthem and about the last 2 months, and this really falls in line with Martin Luther King Day and, of course, Valentine's Day, Thursday. May we always, every day, share with God our gratitude and our love. It's free. It's given to us by Him. And our humble hearts, that we may go to Him in prayer. Our scripture reading, and it's Jesus speaking. But I say to you that listen, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who abuse you. If anyone strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also on. And from anyone who takes away your coat, do not withhold even your shirt. Give to everyone who begs from you. And if anyone takes away your goods, do not ask them for them again. Do to others as you would have them do to you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. If you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. If you lend to those from whom you hope to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love your enemies, do good, and lend expecting nothing in return. Your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High, for He is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For the measure you give will be the measure you get back. This is the word of the Lord. Martin Luther King's junior home was burned down one night by a group of white men who did not like his message about the equality of the races. The situation after the fire was extremely dangerous. Blacks under the leadership of Dr. King were becoming more confident of themselves, less willing to be oppressed and neglected by society. And they were angry. Angry about how they had been treated for years by white society. Angry in particular that night that their leader's home had been destroyed. A crowd of Dr. King's friends and supporters gathered, and some talked about getting guns, others talked about getting gasoline and setting fire to the homes of all the white people in the area so that they could suffer as the black people had suffered. The crowd wanted to hurt those who had hurt them. They wanted to hurt those who had burned Dr. King's home. They wanted to hurt their enemies. Indeed, they wanted to destroy them. A pretty natural feeling, isn't it? We all feel like hitting back when we are hit. We all feel like returning insult for insult, curse for curse. But that night, however, did not end up that way. The way that feels so natural. Instead, the crowd left their enemies in peace. And they went home determined to win the victory with votes instead of with guns. With politics instead of with fire. With love instead of hate. One of the things that Martin Luther King Jr. told the crowd that night that calmed them down was this. When you live by the rule, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, you end up with a nation of blind and toothless people. Martin Luther King Jr. was a person who tried to live by the gospel of Jesus Christ, the gospel that says, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those that curse you, and praise those that mistreat you. Dr. King believed with all his heart that a new society could not be built by violent means. A society in which white and black, Protestant and Catholic, and Jew and Muslim lived together in peace. He believed that one could only defeat one's enemy with love, and that the way of violence only begets more violence, and that hate only fosters more hate. Love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. These are tremendous words. But how do we do it? How can we love people who have hurt us? How can we do good to people who have gossiped about us, or cheated us, or otherwise oppressed us? How do we love the parent who has abused us, or the teacher who has called us a fool, or the ex-wife or ex-husband who has tried to destroy the relationship we have with our children? How can we love our enemies when everything we feel inside us about them makes us want to hurt them back as they have hurt us? That's one of the most common questions that is asked. How can I love someone I feel no love for? How can I bless those who curse me? The answer that is indicated by the scripture and by the life of Jesus is that you can love those who you feel no love for only when you decide to do so. Love, you see, is not just a feeling, it's a choice. Love is the decision to do right even when wronged, to do good even when bad is done, to bless even when you are cursed, to forgive even when you are condemned, to care even when you are not cared for. Love is not what we feel. Rather, it is the good that we decided to do and do. We are accustomed of thinking of love as a feeling rather than as a decision or a choice we make, that a few words of explanation seem necessary. Think about your experience of being loved for a moment. How do you know when you love someone? Do you tell by somehow experiencing their emotions? Do you get inside their heads and feel their feelings and think their thoughts? Or do you tell by how you are treated, by what is said to you by the other person, and by what they do for you and to you? How do you know someone really cares for you? How, in fact, do you know if you really care for someone else? I remember a story of a woman who had gone out on a date in her first love affair. And I think probably it comes from one of the Hallmark movies that we watch once in a while. We watch them all the time. She had gone out on a date with an attractive young man. It was one of her first dates she had ever had. And she felt sure by the time dinner was over that she was in love with him. After the meal, As she sat listening to him and gazing into his eyes, she felt more and more lightheaded. She said that the world around her looked different, that it kind of faded out, that nothing seemed to her to be as vivid as the young man's smiling face, and nothing quite so clear as his calm, strong voice. He was the only thing she could think about, and the only reality that she could connect with. When asked what happened after the dinner, she replied, "I was taken to the hospital. I had my stomach pumped out. The doctor told me that I had food poisoning." You cannot tell if you love someone simply by checking out your feelings towards them. Nor, I want to add, you can show love to them only when you feel warmth and affection for them. Think about your relationship with closest family members for a moment or two. Can you honestly say that you always like your husband? That you always feel good about him and want him near to you? Can you say that you always feel a tremendous fondness for your wife? That sometimes she doesn't make you feel angry and annoyed? And yet, don't you love them at all times? Aren't you committed to them? And don't you want to see them do well and be all that they can be, even when you are angry? The words of the traditional wedding vows are helpful in understanding the love is a choice. I take you to be my wife, to be my husband, to have and to hold from this day forward, for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health, in joy and in sorrow, to love and to cherish and to be faithful to you alone as long as we both shall live. Notice how this is the language of promise, how it is the language of choice and of decision. It is not the language of feelings or the romance or even of affection. In the wedding ceremony, both partners make a commitment to each other. They share a decision that they have made in front of witnesses, proclaiming that they have chosen each other and that they will love each other, not just today when they feel like it, but tomorrow and the next day and the day after that. How do we love our enemies when we do not feel like loving them? How do we get up in the morning to go to work when we feel tired? How do we shovel out the barn when we feel like sitting down and spending the day just reading a book? How do we diet when we feel like having a gigantic bowl of ice cream with chocolate sauce and nuts and a cherry on top? We simply decide. We make a choice. And then we follow through. Jesus tells us a bit of what it means to love your enemy, of what we must decide to do if we are to love him or her, or in fact, anyone, whether they are our enemy or our friend. He tells us to bless rather than to curse, to wish the best for the others rather than the worst. He tells us to be merciful as God is merciful, to forgive and to give as God's forgiveness, without any expectation or hope of reward from that person, but simply for the sake of the other person, simply because that is God's will for us. And of course, as we also heard in today's gospel reading, he tells us, do to others as you would have them do to you. That really is the greatest piece of advice about how to love others that there is. It is truly the golden rule, and every faith, every great religious belief has a version of it for people to follow. Judaism says it something like this: what is hateful to you, do not to others. Hindu faith says, do not to others which would cause you pain if done to you. Islam says, no one is a believer until you desire for another that which you desire for yourself. Do to others as you would have them do to you. This is the great rule of love, the great rule by which you can tell if you are loving someone, even when you do not feel very loving towards them. The marvelous thing about the rule of love, this test of whether or not you are acting with love, is that it is not only a rule or guideline, it is also intimately linked to a great spiritual law that cannot be broken, for that law is descriptive rather than prescriptive. That other law is this: the judgment you give is the judgment you will receive, or what you sow is what you reap. Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Give, and it will be given to you, a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be given to you. Indeed, it is that spiritual principle, that law, which I most cling to when dealing with folk I would much rather not deal with people I feel like harming rather than healing. Count to 10, and at every count, remember, what you do here and now will come back to you in abundance. Forgive, because you need lots of forgiveness. Bless, because you need lots of blessings. My friends, love your enemies, and love will come back to you. Judge them, and that judgment will return. And remember, this love is not a matter of feeling, it is a matter of choice and of decision. And that choice, that decision, is one that affects us as deeply, perhaps even more deeply, as it affects the person we decide to love or not to love. What measure do you want to receive from God? What measure do you want to receive from God? What judgment do you want to live with, both here and the world to come? May all your choices about who to love be good choices, that your measure may return to you not only full, but full of goodness. Praise be to God for his abundance of grace, the grace that loves and forgives us, even as we struggle to love and forgive others. Praise God for that abundance. Let us be silent. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Amen.